Wow. Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are live, as always, from Clearwater, Florida, this wonderful, wonderful radio station that we've been a part of here now for almost 5 years. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister, along with my compadres today, Nan.
Yes.
And Pastor Jim, my associate pastor.
Hey.
Hey, welcome. And Pastor Jim, you brought a bag of chocolate chip cookies.
I did.
I mean, come on. How about that?
Well, I stopped to get my usual soda.
Yeah.
And they were on sale at the particular pharmacy I stopped at.
All right. So. Yes, and they're good, too.
And we thank you. Yes. We're enjoying them. Thank you.
That's fun. We're excited to be on the air with you today. You have plenty of time to call friends. This is a two-hour live show. Every Sunday, we always have such a good time. I don't know about y'all, but I always enjoy this. A highlight of my week is this radio ministry. It's just fun to be able to share the word,
yes,
talk about
is.
What God's doing. And God is doing some great and wonderful things. Wow. Answers to prayer all the time, right, Nan?
Oh, yes. Praise God. I've had some answer for me this week. It's exciting.
It is.
It's
exciting. Really is. To know that God is listening and cares about the details of our lives. And Pastor Jim, in all of our years of ministry, you and I both, I think both of us would say that radio ministry is just a whole lot of fun and a different type of ministry. We never can see our listening audience
right.
out there. We do hear
difference.
From some of them.
Yeah.
And you have email up today, which means tell them how they can reach us from this point on in the show all the way through. Comments, questions, whatever they want to do.
Right. You can email us at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. That'll pop up right here. We will, if you have a question, we'll try and answer it. Comment, whatever. You know, just let us know you're out there listening.
Yeah, it'd be great. Yeah. Sometimes we hear from people. Sometimes we can go a whole show and only hear from one or two or nobody at all. So we welcome you to do that, you know. And we want to hear your questions. We want to hear your comments, especially as we get into these lively discussions that we get into about the Word of God and what God's doing in each of our lives. Yeah.
Well, what I want to say also, even if they're not listening to it live, they can always email that email.
Yes.
Because you monitor that's yours, and
that's
you'll
right.
respond
that's
back. If they're listening at 3 o'clock in the morning, they can send it, and you'll, when you read it, get a message to them.
Absolutely. And how would they be listening at 3 o'clock in the morning? You want to comment on that?
If they were up and awake and having problems sleeping.
Yeah.
And they say, what do I want to do with my time? I can't go back to sleep. They tune on in and listen to a show.
And just at our website.
Just
yeah, at
the website, yes.
Beacon of Hope Ministries.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
.com.
Duh. Okay, got it.
Yeah, there we go. That IES on the end of it. There you go, Nan. That's how you do it. Yes. Yes, Bill.
Nan's been playing all week here on the radio station.
She has.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
He's in the midst. When you unite with me, I unite with. We all unite together in prayer.
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
Then what happens?
You get better, you get healed.
What's the prayer line number?
813-417-3377. One more time. 813-417-3377.
All right.
It is prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. This is Marcia McAllister, Beacon of Hope Ministries. Join Living the Good Life every Sunday at 4 o'clock. Have your prayers answered on the Tantalk Radio Network.
There you go.
Cool, Bill.
Thanks, Brother Bill.
Yeah,
that's
that
cool.
promo we did. Well, I didn't know you added that on the front of it. That was cool.
You like it, huh?
Yeah,
like
you did
that,
a good job. So that's
Nan's cool. a superstar now.
Nan
superstar,
is. So you've been playing that this week. That was last Sunday from the show, right at the very end of it. So that's cool. That's great. All right, we do want to hear from our listening audience, and it's fun to get your comments or your questions. It's been a great week, Pastor Jim. Do we have church today?
We had church. You bet we did. Oh, it was. You know, I was thinking on the way over here, I mean, the devil tried so much in so many people's lives to stop the service from happening. I mean,
there was a lot going on
we
today.
We could have went through the motions of church, but we did. We prayed about it.
Right.
And we had church. We just weren't going to stand for it.
Right.
And, you know, God moved in a wonderful way in so many
yes.
people's lives. The praise team, we just, you know, I'm just amazed what God's doing with the praise
right.
team.
Right, it's great. You're a part of that.
Yeah.
It's fun, isn't it?
It is fun. And
the music all finally came together.
Right. You just have to really pay attention now to Nathan and to Aaron,
right.
see who's going where and
right.
when.
Yeah. with the keyboard and the guitar and the bass and the drums and all of the instruments. It's fun, though, just the quality, what God's put together and the unity and the teamwork that's going on in that team. It's really fun. And everybody today was just excited of the level of intensity and praise and worship to God. Wow. Wonderful. It's good. Glad we were there. So out there in Radio Land, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to come visit us at 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. That's where we are. That's where we hang out. And Sunday mornings at 10, Wednesday night at 7. And we're going to talk more about that later on. We have a new song to play for you today by Heather Williams. It's called God is Still God.
Wish I knew what I'm supposed to say to you.
Praise God. God is still God, so hang on, because he is still working in our behalf. Let's go to Psalm 28, and we're going to go down to verse 6. God is God. That was a great song, a new one. I had never heard that song. God is still working in your behalf. Whatever you're going through today, God is working on your situation. We're going to start today with prayer, and let's do it. Pastor Jim, would you pray for this show and for the needs of people out there, too?
Sure. Father, we give you thanks and praise that you've allowed us this ministry. And Lord, we just submit this time into your hands. Father, we ask that the words we say would not just be empty words, but that you would empower them and anoint them by your Holy Spirit, that they would go forth in power and do what you want them to do, that they would be planted, Lord, as seed that would produce a rich harvest. Father, we ask that your anointing would just flow through us, as we minister your word, as we talk about your word and the wonderful things you have done, the wonderful things you are doing, and the wonderful things you will do. Father, we give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, the things he's doing and will do. So we just declare right now that God's going to do a great work in each of us today as a result of the Word of God, which is living and active. Hebrews 4:12 says, and more powerful than any two-edged sword, and able to get down on the inside of us and do a fresh work in us. So that's our prayer today. So let's look at Psalm 28, verse 6. We've been talking in the last few weeks. We've had this series going on, God's Goodness, Grace, and Glory. And it's all about the book of Ephesians, learning to sit with him in heavenly places, walk with him on a daily basis, and then stand firm against the devil and all of the junk that he throws at us. And we all know that we have these things happen in our lives. And there are times we feel extremely weak. And now, I don't know about the two of you, but I can tell you my own life, there's times I feel like, wow, I don't have enough strength physically or emotionally or spiritually to get through this particular battle, right, or day or week. And perhaps it's just the trial we're going through that seems so difficult. Let's see what the word says. I love these words of David in Psalm 28, starting with verse 6 and down through verse 9. You probably have the King James.
Yes, ma'am.
That's all right. And you have today what?
The Complete Jewish Bible and the 2011 New International.
Well, we have all kinds of different things. And I have the Message Bible. So, Nan, let's start with you reading verses 6 through 9, Psalm 28, and see what David says about this subject.
Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is my strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever.
Wow, that's good. Yeah, I heard that growing up, didn't you, Pastor Jim, in the King James? Go ahead, read whatever you want to, or maybe both of them, and then comment however you want to comment. Then we'll get back to Nan on this, what these verses are really saying to us on a daily basis.
Okay. From the Complete Jewish Bible, blessed be Adonai, for he has heard my voice as I prayed for mercy. Adonai is my strength and my shield.
Amen.
In him my heart trusted, and I have been helped.
Yes.
Therefore my heart is filled with joy, and I will sing praises to him. Adonai is a strength for his people, a stronghold of salvation to his anointed. Save your people, bless your heritage, shepherd them, and carry them forever.
Oh, I like that.
I like that.
I like that, too.
That is so good.
And go ahead. Did you want to read the NIV?
Yeah, I'll read the
go
NIV.
Ahead. See if it makes it a little easier to understand.
Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever.
Oh, that's good. That's good. What we're talking about here are those times in our life, and we all go through this, where we feel that we need to run to God and get some strength for the situation that we're in. In the Message Bible, verses 6 and 7, blessed be God, he heard me praying. And, you know, I don't know about y'all, but that's really exciting to know. And David says this, and so many of the writers in the Word say this. God hears our prayers. Mm-hmm. He hears our prayers. And I think the devil tries to go and confuse us and say to us, you know, God's not paying any attention to you. He doesn't really care about what's going on in your life. And David says right here in Psalm 28, he heard me pray.
Mm-hmm.
He proved he's on my side. I've thrown my lot in with him. Nan, comment on that. That's so cool.
Why, I'm reminded of some real tough times in my life. Well, going through the divorce I went through and everything, and a lot of legal stuff happening in
right.
that. God heard my prayer. I'm looking in Psalms, and that whole little area I've kind of marked and dated and put when it was. And I'm
right.
like, oh, wow, you know, because he heard me, and he
yes.
moved in my situation. He gave me peace in bad situations.
Absolutely.
And he saw me through those situations for my good.
Right, exactly.
It came out just fine.
And that's what David's saying. And he says, David says, I've thrown my lot in with him. You know, I've decided, all right, I'm God's, you know. How important is that, Pastor Jim, when it comes to getting prayer answered, as far as our attitude toward whether or not we belong to God or not? I mean, I think a lot of people will go to God when the chips are down and when they get caught in some mess.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. But is that genuine repentance? And is that genuine needing God, or is it just because they need a Band-Aid on their mess?
Very, very possibly. I mean, I'm not, I wouldn't, you know.
Well,
I wouldn't
I'm not
judge
talking about any
individual,
specific
yeah,
person,
an individual's
no.
heart. But a lot of times it is. It's like, oh, I've made such a mess of things. I better run to God. And that's good.
Right.
Just now that you've run to him, stay there.
Right, exactly.
Stay with him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because it is important to know that, you know, here God, you know, I trusted in him, it says, and I've been helped.
Amen.
You have to believe. You have to trust in him, and then he will be your help.
Absolutely.
But just running, getting the Band-Aid put on the problem.
Right.
And then going off and wandering
right.
on your own, you can bet what's going to happen then is there's going to come another time when you're going to have to come running back to
Absolutely.
God.
Absolutely.
But it's so important just to know right here, God hears us when we pray.
Amen. You Amen. Know, that's all through the Word.
Right.
We can
and
give you many scriptures for
sometimes
that.
Sometimes we think he doesn't.
Right. We get mad at him. We think he's not paying any attention
right.
to us.
But he always hears.
Right.
He always hears, and he will act on our behalf.
Right.
Sometimes maybe not what we want
right.
to hear, because he ultimately knows what's best
right.
for us. But it's always going to be from his point of view what's best.
Right.
And I think that's why, you know, you can say our hearts can be filled with joy. We can sing praises to
yes.
him because we trust in him, and he will answer. He'll hear us. He'll answer our prayers.
Right. And I love what the Message Bible says there in about the third line of verse 6. He proved he's on my side, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so often people try to put people against each other. Or whose side are you on?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, whatever's going on.
Mm-hmm.
God's on everybody's side. And that's kind of a difficult concept to understand, though, isn't it?
It is. I mean, how can he be on my side and my enemy's side?
Right, exactly.
But he is.
But he is, because he's all the time working all things together for good
right.
to those who love God. That's the difference right there.
Mm-hmm.
Who love God and are called according to his purpose. Mm-hmm. Did you want to comment on that?
Well, I was thinking about what Pastor Jim was saying earlier. I mean, not necessarily in our church, but in previous churches I've been in, you see people, and they have a problem, and they show up. And they show up long enough till everyone's prayers have helped their problem, then you don't see them again till the next problem.
Right.
And it's a good thing they came back, but they miss so much.
Right.
Because it's not because of church attendance, but it's the way they're living their life.
Right.
Because we would know these sometimes because they were acquaintances of ours and would be in contact with us on a personal level. And they're missing the joy and the freedom and the love, the life, everything that you can have.
Exactly.
All the time when they're just coming to, like you say, get a Band-Aid put on a problem and then just get my problem fixed, pray for me, whatever. And then they, as soon as God moves, and they move out for a while.
Right. Exactly.
And it's sad. It's sad.
It is. And what happens a lot of times is that people really are weak without the presence of the Lord. I mean, in our individual lives, a lot of times we don't have the answers
mm-hmm.
to how a situation is going to be resolved or what wisdom is needed in a particular given area in our life. Or, you know, we can just be totally and completely like at a loss on how to handle mm-hmm. something.
It's funny you should mention that because I've really been praying for wisdom. This past week, there's a lot of stuff going on, especially at work and such.
Right.
And you know, I just have to have wisdom, and I'm
Amen.
So glad you mentioned that, because you know, wisdom is different from knowledge. It's knowing how to use the knowledge you have.
Exactly.
And
it's application.
Right.
And how do we apply
for
that
me,
knowledge?
That's what I need right now is wisdom.
Right. And so often we feel weak on the inside when it comes to wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
We feel like, okay, well, in the past I tried this and I got this result. And a lot of times God's got a plan that is quite different for that given situation than what we've tried before.
Right.
But we are creatures of habit, you know? And we want things to be familiar. We don't like change very well, so we like things to be familiar. So if we handled something a certain way before, we just think naturally, okay, that's how I handle it.
I was going to say, ask any codependent. They'll tell you just how.
Codependent. That's exactly right.
Just how much creatures of habit we are.
Exactly. Great book for that is Melody Beattie's book, Codependent No More. Excellent. But we are creatures of habit. Absolutely. And so we feel weak, don't we? When we don't feel like we have the answer. And so a lot of times we revert back to the answer we did in the last time to see if that's going to work again.
Sometimes we may not want to spend the necessary amount of time in seeking God or waiting on God.
Oh, man, that's pretty good.
So it's easier to say, well, this necessarily didn't work out necessarily that great last time, but let me try it this time. Instead of getting out really praying and seeking God's direction,
and
listening to Him, and then following what He says. Because it's easier to fall back and try to do something the way you used to do it, because it may take time for you to pray, and you don't want to do that.
That's really a good point.
She's talking about the D word.
Which is?
Discipline.
Discipline.
Ooh. Discipline.
Because when we are up against a struggle, you know, that really is hard for us. It sounds like that song, Praise the Lord. Up against the struggle that shatters all our dreams. Right. But when we are up against such a struggle, so often we do feel that weakness overcome us, and we don't know how to handle that situation. So it seems less of a problem to us if we just go back, that's what we're saying, to the same way we've always done it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of taking the time, like you just said, it takes time, it takes discipline, it takes realizing that in our own ability, we don't have the strength. We're not built with all the wisdom. That doesn't just come in the package, you know? We've got to seek God for that wisdom.
Well, Pastor, I was thinking, you know, so we feel weak. You know, there's times that we maybe need to speak to our pastor or speak to elder in the church or someone to get guidance in situations.
Sure.
Well, sometimes with our weakness, we may have a little pride, and we don't want them to know that I'm having a problem. Like, Pastor, I don't want you to know I'm having problems, so I'm not going to talk to you for wisdom. I'm trying to just do it the way I used to do it before.
Right.
When we should be able to speak to someone if you need to.
Exactly.
Reach out. I mean, reach out. That's what we're all here for, is reach out to each other.
Exactly. And that's what we're here at Beacon of Hope for. You can email us and whatever. Verse 8 of Psalm 28, David said, God is all strength for his people. Ample refuge for his chosen leader. What are your translations? Either one of you, one of those, that first part of verse 8, say.
The Lord is their strength.
Okay, go on.
And he is the saving strength of his anointed.
Okay, he's the saving strength of his anointed. God is your strength. Go ahead.
This says, the Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one.
Amen. And save your people, bless your heritage, care for them, carry them like a good shepherd. That the end of Psalm 28, verse 9, shows a picture of us needing to be carried by the good shepherd. And when God gives us strength, his strength is really revealed in our weakness. Which we're going to do that song later on today, but we're going to talk about 2 Corinthians chapter 10. But in our weakness, is it 12?
12.
12. In our weakness, we get stronger because we realize we are weak. And, you know, that's a rough place to be sometimes, but it's the place to be.
Well, and because I think sometimes, and I don't want this to come out the wrong way, but sometimes God has to break us.
Yeah, explain that. What does that mean, breaking? Because I think a lot of people may not understand.
Yeah, God has to bring us to the end of ourselves, is one way I've heard it said. To the end of our own schemes, the end of our own, kind of the end of our own knowledge, the end of our own wisdom, the end of our own strength.
Exactly.
So that, you know, we'll just let go and let him do what he has to do.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if we were all smart, we just every day say, okay, take over. But there's that part of us.
Why don't we say that, Pastor Jim?
Because we're human.
Yeah.
And there's still that part of us. I know there is in me. I want to run not only my life, but there are times I want to run everybody else's.
Right.
And I'm not that powerful.
You're right.
You know, only God is. And that's why, you know, sometimes he'll allow circumstance. I'm not saying he puts things there, but he'll allow things to happen because kind of the natural outgrowth of what we happen to be doing, you know, we kind of reap what we sow.
Absolutely,
from
we do.
Galatians. So,
yes, we do.
And, you know, and then, you know, that'll happen. And sometimes, you know, that's what it takes to bring us back to God. It takes us being flattened. I mean, as AA and some of the other 12 steps programs would say, you know, we have to realize we're not in control of it.
Well, that's step one in all those programs. Mm-hmm. And it is that, you know, we recognize a power higher than ourselves, greater than ourselves, which we recognize as being God, the living God, God Almighty, the creator of all things, as being the highest power there is in the universe. And when we actually acknowledge how great he is, we sang that song today, How Great Is Our God, over and over again.
Over and over.
Wasn't it great, though?
It was good.
Woo! I don't know about y'all, but it just carried me to a new place today.
It worked.
There was such an anointing on that song today. Mm-hmm. Why? What do you think that was?
It was the right song for the right time.
It was the right song for the right time. It was. How Great Is Our God. What was going on in you, Nan?
Just feeling a closeness with the Lord, realization of just how good he is.
Right.
You know, recognizing that even more and more so, you know, as the song was played and sang, right. And just really feeling close to God and feeling, you know.
Excellent. You know, so often I think that when we are in a prideful state, when we're in a know-it-all state, when we're in a, hey, leave me alone, I got this, I'm cool, I don't need any outside help here, certainly no counsel, certainly no wisdom from the Word or anything. I just, you know, there are times that people get into that kind of a mindset where it's all about them, and it's all about them figuring it out, and they're going to do it their way. And actually what that does, that whole attitude, is make you very weary. It makes you very worn out. Let's go to Isaiah 40. You know where I'm going, verse 29. And this scripture, these two or three verses, have been on my heart a lot in the last couple days. And it's about strength. And it's about how we can get so weary carrying our own burdens. We weren't meant to carry the load. We really weren't. We weren't built that way. God actually built us. Connie likes to talk about the God-shaped hole on the inside of us, where the only thing that'll fit that hole perfectly is God, his presence in our lives. And so often we spend our lives kicking against letting God. You know, they say in AA and Al-Anon, let go and let God. Mm-hmm. Let go and let God. Very hard concept for a lot of people to even understand. Let go and let God. Let go of what? Well, what?
I was going to say, whatever you're holding on to. whatever it is that's keeping you in bondage.
Okay.
You know, whatever that happens to be.
How about my need to fix me? Or my need to fix everybody around me?
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't intending to have a show on codependency, but that is really the essence of codependency, isn't it?
Me wanting to fix everybody else, but me.
Everybody else but me.
Yeah, because I'm so powerful, I can rule the world and fix everybody.
Right. And it's everybody else's fault and not my own. And what happens in these 12-step programs is the focus turns on ourselves. And we see that without that higher power, which is God Almighty, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, without God in our lives, we go around the same old mountain over and over again. Nan, do you want to comment on that mountain? I mean, it's a weary place.
It's a weary place. I was reminded, I've been in counseling with you and Connie, and when that first started, and then I would do what I was supposed to, and then I didn't do what I was supposed to, you know, I became called Jonah, because God was kind of dealing with me, calling me Jonah.
And you want to explain that to our listeners, why you would be called Jonah?
Because I was running from the will of God for my life. He told me what he wanted, and I didn't seem to really want what he was wanting, and so I was trying to run away from God, who's everywhere to begin with.
Yes.
You know, but
how'd that work out? You just running away from God.
It was tiring. It was tiring.
Psalm 139.
What's that?
Where can I go from your spirit?
That's right. Yeah. Where? Where can I go? Even to the depths of the sea, there you are.
There you
Even
are,
to the highest mountain, there you are.
I think it takes surrender and what Pastor Jim said earlier with discipline.
Oh,
you know, it takes
it so
surrender
does.
To go and surrender what God wants you to do. Then we need to walk in a disciplined fashion. But it is exhausting running from God. It was tough.
Doing your own thing.
Doing
but,
my own
but
thing.
But the world says, if you just do it your way, your own way. Frank Sinatra, you know, great song.
I did it my way.
Right. I mean, that song was very famous. You know, it was all about the way he did it himself. That's and what God is saying as we learn the word is, you can't, sweetheart. Mm-hmm. You can't do it your way. You can't fix you. And you certainly can't fix the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you think you can, you're going to fall flat on your face in some way or another. And you're going to end up with egg on your face, you know, because it was on the pavement where you fell flat on your face.
I
need to blow my nose, Pastor Jim. What can
I've been there. And it's hard. I mean... And I think one of the hardest things is just letting go and letting God do it.
Absolutely.
You know, that's that casting all your cares
yes.
upon Him.
For He cares for you.
Because
First Peter
he cares
chapter
for
5.
You. And I think that's important to realize God cares for you.
Yes.
And He doesn't want us to carry things we ought not be carrying.
Right.
You know, He doesn't want us involved in the, you know, trying to do things we ought not be doing because they're just not. We don't have the strength. We don't have the wisdom sometimes.
We don't have it in our natural.
We don't have the power.
But you know, the strongest people I know are the humblest people.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's...
And humbleness means humility, being mm-hmm. taught, being
teachable.
Being teachable. Nan, I'm going to throw that at you. Why would I say that the strongest people are really the ones that are the most teachable?
Well, I think that they just have an inner strength because they sometimes it's hard to be humble, because you want to pridefully step up and do something, you know, but just to be in a very humble posture before the Lord.
Okay. Maybe let me rephrase this. The strongest people I know are the weakest. You know what I'm saying? The strongest people I know are the weakest in their own strength. They are the weakest because they realize that they can't fix their partner, their spouse, their children, their grandchildren, their coworkers, their boss. They can't do that. So in their weakness, when they realize I can't fix the whole world around me, they become the strongest. Pastor Jim, comment on that.
Well, and that's like...
See what I'm saying?
When you were saying that, I was thinking about, you know, we've had a lot of change at work.
Yeah.
Personnel and just the physical space and the programs and everything. Everything's been changing. And I have no power over that. Now, I could sit and fret about it and stew about it and mumble under my breath about how, you know, difficult these changes are. And blah, 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 blah. Or I can just turn it over to God and say, you know what? I need wisdom. I need strength in order to make it through
Absolutely.
All these changes. And let me tell you, it's a lot easier just to say, Lord, I submit all this to you. I have no power over it, but you do, and I submit it into your hands.
Absolutely. You know, I remember when I first had my first child, and maybe you remember this, Pastor Jim, and Nan, you're a mother,
no,
too.
No, I don't remember when you had
no,
your first child.
No, you don't remember when I had my first child. But, I mean, when we all had children, okay, people would say, there's no real textbook on this. I don't know about you, but I bought a baby book to try to figure out, you know, what's the best thing to do here for my son.
Yes.
But in reality, I learned by doing, okay? And when the second child came along, and then the third child came along, I was much more relaxed than on the first one, you know, because on the first one, man, I really didn't know what I was doing. It didn't seem like, you know. And then the more I realized, wait a minute, kids are going to be different. There's going to be different situations happen. And we got to trust God on a daily basis on how to be a good parent, you know. And then when they got to be teenagers, man, I never had experienced that. Three of them, you know, just very close in age, teenagers, wow, hard, difficult stuff. And so often you can read a textbook on that, but it ultimately, when you realize that God's got the wisdom for each situation, whether it's a parent out there, whether it's your job that's concerning you right now, whether it's a relationship you're in, whether it's a marriage, in-law issue, whatever your issues might be. When we try our best to have the answers is usually when we have the wrong answers. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because we're doing it within our own selves, trying to figure out how to have the right answer.
Right.
Instead of going to the source who could give us the right answer.
Exactly. So therefore, we now go to Isaiah 40. And let's look at verse 29. He gives strength to the weary, because I believe so often we get weary in well-doing. We get weary in trying to be the best parent or be the best spouse. And he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. This is a great verse. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Woo! What do you think, Nan?
I think I like it.
It's good, isn't it? I like your comment.
Oh, sorry.
He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak.
Well, I know there's been times when I have waited upon God.
Yeah.
For whatever is going on, and just wait and wait. But when that answer comes, or when he will carry you at times through what you're going through.
I mean,
that's just what he does.
Right.
And when you get to the other side, you'll find out that you have gained strength.
And you've been carried.
And I've been carried because I couldn't carry me.
Right.
It was too hard for me, whatever it
might
have been.
I remember you telling a story on the air a few months back about when you were going through a very difficult time, and you ended up assembling a little group of close friends around you who would praise God for your answer. You want to talk about that, Matt?
Yeah, I was facing some legal stuff with my ex-husband, and it was pretty bad stuff, and could have the repercussions that could have been really bad, and it was all false. So God gave me the idea I got together a group of people who I trusted, who I knew their lives, who I knew them, and they were my praise group.
Wow.
Not praying for the situation, but praising God for the answer.
And
I was writing poems, and it was real organized, writing poems and giving them memos with updates of what's happening. And, I can remember when I sat in the courtroom when it was coming down to the final hearing, it was like, man, I was just cool about it. I mean, I was so calm. My parents were like trying to figure me out. I'm writing poems as I'm in the courtroom just waiting. That was God, because I had enlisted praise warriors, and the word says he inhabits the praise of his people. I knew him inhabiting the situation for me, and he did, and it worked. And if I had to do it again in another situation, I would certainly enlist that again, because I saw in living color, I saw how that really worked and how that helped in the situation. Kept me calm.
Absolutely. You want to comment on that? Well, I sneeze.
Well, I think that's great. And I was thinking, well, Nan had her own little praise team.
Yeah.
But that's true. And that is so scriptural, because, if we believe God for the answer, then we can go on and praise him for the answer. And I know, the natural mind, that just makes no sense at all.
Right.
But you know what? There was a song by Michael and Stormy O'Martin, praise his name and see it happen.
Right.
Let the word of God become alive in your life. Well, that's how you do it. You praise God.
That's what you do. Absolutely.
You praise God and praise, then you quoted Psalm 22. He inhabits the praises of his people.
Absolutely, he does.
Which means praise brings God onto the scene, and praise, in a sense, God moves.
And it gives you strength through that praise. And that's what really happened this morning at Beacon of Hope, when there were several missing today and out sick, and there was a lot going on in different people's lives. But yet, as we all, the ones that were there, began to really praise God and get to that place. And when we got to that song, How Great Is Our God, it just broke loose all that praise and that knowledge down on the inside of us that, yes, God, you are so great. And as we drew on that and really built that in our lives, then the strength came. The strength came. And we're going to talk about David. We're going to go back to 1 Samuel in a minute and talk about a scene in David's life that I talked about this morning. I wasn't even going to bring him up, but God says bring him up. Listen to this song by Britt Nicole, All This Time. You've been with me all this time. Boy, he has, hasn't he? You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I wasn't going to go back to 1 Samuel 26, but God just really said do that. I really preached this morning.
Yes, you did.
But, you know, it's talking about such a difficult time in David's life and how he really drew strength from God. So, Pastor Jim, take it for a minute and let me rest my vocal cords for a moment and tell them what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 26. If y'all have your Bible, you can follow along.
I'm going to back up just a bit. Y'all know that King Saul was out to get David. In fact, he tried 21 times. This is the 21st time that King Saul had tried to get David because some Ziphites had come out to Saul and said, you know, David's hiding in this certain place, the hill of Hakilah. And so Saul took 3,000 men, went after David. Well, David hid in a cave, and, you know, he hid from him. And Saul and these 3,000 soldiers made camp, and, you know, they all fell asleep. And David's, you know, said, you know, who wants to come down there with me? And Abishai said, I'll go. And so they go down there. And amazingly enough, here goes David into the middle of the camp, of Saul's camp, walks right past these 3,000 soldiers, Saul's hand-picked assistant Abner, and Saul. And David's right there. And Abishai says, okay, we're right here. Let me kill Saul. Let me just go on and do it. Okay? I'm right here. I can just one stroke, I can have him dead for you. And David said, no, you know, he knew that at one point Saul had been anointed of God. And he said, no, I won't do that. I'm not going to touch God's anointed. I won't be held responsible for that, and you won't either. So what they did, though, they took the water jug, and they took the spear, and they snuck back out of camp. And then David, I love this.
Pretty cool. I love this story.
I know.
Really.
David, because he calls to Abner and says, Abner, how come you're sleeping on the job, basically? He says, I got that close. Look, I've got the spear and the water jug. That's how close I came to your king. And Saul recognized the voice and said, is that you, David? And, you know, David said, yeah, I could have killed you, but I didn't. You know, I don't understand why you're so mad at me. Because this wasn't the first time this similar incident had happened. There was a time when it was Saul in the cave, and David snuck in and did the very same thing. Of course, that time, too, Saul said, oh, I'm sorry, David. I won't ever do this again. And here, you know, he said again, oh, David, I've made a terrible mistake. You know, I won't ever do this again. I'm sorry. But again, going back to our little talk on wisdom, you'll notice that's not what David did. I mean, we find that out in chapter 27. That's not what David did. David said, you know, no, I know better. This has happened before. I'm going to learn from my past mistakes.
And David was weak in his, just in this whole situation, mm-hmm. except that he drew his strength from God for the direction and the wisdom. That's why I wanted to bring this up. Thank you for paraphrasing all that, Pastor Jim, because David was in a very difficult situation because he could have run the other way.
Right.
He did not choose to run the other way. Nan, aren't there times in our lives when we run and we should be taking a stand against what the devil's doing, and instead we run away and hide in a cave and say, I don't want to have to deal with this area in my life, or I don't want to have to deal with this issue in my life. I'm just going to run away from it and be weak, be a weakling, instead of drawing on God's strength. That's the point right here. David drew on the wisdom and the strength of God by going actually right down in the middle of the camp.
That took a lot of strength to do that. I mean, because in your mind, naturally, you'd say, you're going to get killed trying to walk around all those people.
Right.
Someone's going to wake up. 3,000
exactly.
People. Somebody is going to wake
3,000
up.
3,000 people asleep.
You know, and God put them in such sleep that he was able to do that. We need to... totally lost my thought. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, but that's exactly what happens. So often we think, you know, those thoughts come to us as far as, well, if I go down there and follow God's direction, somebody's going to wake up and they're going to kill me.
Right.
You know?
But we can remember this happened twice to David, and neither time, you know, at neither time did anybody wake up.
Right. And it actually says down there in verse 12 of 1 Samuel 26 that David... realized that everybody had been put into a deep sleep. How cool is that? I mean, a deep sleep from God. And so David was able to go and do what God was directing him to do.
God provided what he needed. I mean, he trusted and God provided. And
that's
what we need to do. A lot of times we don't trust enough. Sometimes people view Christianity and view following God and do what God wants you, they view that as a weakness to begin with.
Right.
And it's not a weakness. It shows the strength that you have by standing there saying, yes, I'm a Christian.
Right.
You know, the strength is there.
Exactly.
You know?
And David evidently got the plan from God. Mm-hmm. Let's go down. Let's do this. Excuse me, I got the hiccups, listening audience. How about that? I'm sneezing, got the hiccups. I'm not good here. But anyway, go ahead.
But I was going to say, it's so great that David did follow God.
And coughing, so go ahead.
You know, David followed God. He knew God. We don't see that he, at least at this point, but we know he did before. You know, we don't see him being particular about asking God's advice, but we know that
we
David
know he
walked,
lived a life
yes,
like
that.
That
he walked,
right?
My point is, he walked with God, and so he just kind of knew. And look at this. I mean, I think it shows a lot about David's character,
too. Oh, I do, too. I think
because,
the story's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, he could have fled, but God
right.
said no.
No, God told him to go right down there in the thick of the battle. Whoa.
And when he did, though, you know, when he did go down there, he could have killed Saul.
Right.
I mean, this is, you know, Saul's been after him for years.
Right, years.
And it shows David's trust in God, because David knew that David knew he'd been anointed to be king.
Right.
He was not going to take it by force. And I think that goes along with everything we've been saying,
yes,
too.
That goes along with the weakness, doesn't it?
Yeah,
talk about that.
Because we know what, you know, well, I think of Abraham. God promised a son to Abraham and Sarah. They took things into their own hands.
They sure did.
And Sarah gave Abraham Hagar, her maidservant. And Abraham had a son, Ishmael.
Right.
Well, that's been a dysfunctional family for 4,000 years.
4,000 years. That's the Palestinians versus the Israelites that we deal
with
now.
Arab-Israeli conflict.
Arab-Israeli conflict. Absolutely.
You know, that's. But yet David said, no, you know, I'm willing to wait. And sometimes, you know, we quoted Isaiah 40, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Yes.
Not they that rush ahead of the Lord or they that try to force God's hand.
Right. They that wait.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Yes.
And that's important. You know, you wait on the Lord and sometimes... And I think that's where we get impatient. We don't want to wait.
Right.
I want my answer, and
I want it now. Yes.
And
I know.
And usually it's accompanied by, and I know how you ought to answer it, by the way.
Usually we tell God how he's going to do it, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yet David said, I'm willing to wait. I don't have, you know.
Right.
I believe God's promise.
Right.
You know, I believe God's promise that I am going to be king. I can wait on this.
Right.
And he
absolutely
did. He waited, and we'll find out in a few chapters here that indeed God the anointing that David had to be king was fulfilled.
Exactly.
Because God moved Saul out of the way.
But when you put yourself in that situation with David, I would think, knowing that King Saul's after him again, yet another time, now number 21, and David is in a vulnerable position with just a few guys, and Saul has 3,000 choice soldiers. So when you're up against, again, back to that song, when you're up against the struggle that shatters all your dreams, that's the old song, Praise the Lord, and you feel like you're... Oh, I just lost the rest of that phrase.
When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams and your hopes
have been cruelly crushed
by Satan's manifested schemes.
Yeah.
No,
you feel the urge within you to
submit to earthly fear.
That's right.
Don't let this faith you're standing in seem
to disappear. Right. Exactly. Praise the Lord. So, I mean, we see this story. This was such a bold, tremendously bold move on the part of David. To take Abishai, or is that how you pronounce it?
Abishai. It's actually on the line.
Abishai, which is really his nephew, which is interesting. His nephew. And to take him and go down into that situation.
Right.
And you had to know, thank you, you had to know that David or one of them are going, they only two guys went down and there's 3,000 plus Saul.
Right.
Down there, all asleep on the ground. I mean, how weird is that? I mean, and a lot of times we don't go into the situations that God really wants to work in our behalf because of fear, because of weakness, because of we don't feel like we have any strength to step out, you know, and do what God's telling us to do or calling us to do.
Well, I am reminded at times in my life when it's like I felt led I was supposed to do something.
Right. Like just now, you went to get lifesavers for me. Thank you very much.
The Lord led me to get lifesavers. Thank God I found them. Help yourself, Pastor Jim. I feel the Lord wants me to do something, but then Satan's right there going, but if you start doing that, it's going to get worse for you.
That's right.
And there were times in my life I would have said, he's right. But there's now, those times aren't now. And now I'm like, wait a minute, what God will call me. He will equip me. He will protect me. He will be there with me, period. Mm-hmm. So I will move forward with what God wants me to do. I will not stand in fear of you.
So his strength is perfected in our weakness.
Exactly. Right.
And when we are the weakest, like this had to be overwhelming odds for David in this situation, well, in 1 Samuel 26.
Two against 3,000.
Two against 3,001 is really not very good odds, you know. And yet he's standing right there over King Saul, has the opportunity to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever, yet chooses to honor the anointing of God upon the king, the first king of Israel. Go ahead.
Right. Well, and even though we know by this time the anointing had left Saul.
Right.
The anointing was gone.
Right.
And Saul, you know, but David still recognized that he is still king.
Right.
And I'm still his subject.
Right.
And again, that shows such strength of character, because I'm not sure I could have withheld my hand from taking the spear to him.
Yeah, after all those attempts to kill him for all these many years. So when we are in these situations, number one, we got to get the mind of God on what he expects us to do.
Right.
And I think so often we take a position of, I'm just going to do what is familiar. We talked about that earlier in the show. I'm going to do what I've always done before, because maybe it didn't work that great, but maybe it will this time. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. But a lot of us, that's what we do when we are up against a problem. Our weakness shows in the fact that we just try the old, same old thing instead of taking the time and the effort to get the mind of the Lord. You know, David heard from God, go do this. I'm going to do a miracle here. What a miracle that these guys slept through all of that, did not hear David and Abishai there at all. Abishai did not hear them at all. And they had time to get all the way up to a high hill, kind of a cross, and nobody woke up during any of that. What amazing miracles God does in our lives when we follow his direction. That's my point. Go ahead.
Again, there's the issue, you know, following God's direction. There's sometimes, I mean, it's just hard, because like Nan, you had mentioned, sometimes following God goes against our common sense. I mean, not that God makes us do crazy things, but sometimes it's like God may, you know, have you pray for your enemy. Well, that's pretty.
Strong.
Who in their right mind would do that? Well, Jesus said, you know, we all ought to do it.
Right.
We all need to do it. But I mean, you know, sometimes it just doesn't make sense. It's like following God can be an adventure, but we can't always expect it to make sense to us.
Right, exactly.
Because in our minds, it's not going to. I mean, look at not King Saul, but Saul, who became Paul the Apostle. Who would have thought that the man that persecuted the church, that basically tried to drive the church underground, would become its greatest apostle?
Absolutely. And write 2/3 of the New Testament.
Right.
Come on, you wouldn't. That is not in our human thinking.
Right. And here's Peter.
Right.
Who vacillates back and forth and back and forth, becomes the primary speaker on the day of Pentecost.
Oh, absolutely. Don't you see that it is so often not the way that we would figure it out?
Right.
So not the way that we would sit there and calculate it out to be.
Right.
It's just the opposite. Nan, do you have a comment to any of that?
Well, I was thinking about 6 months ago or so, I was at dinner with someone from the church, and we got talking about forgiveness.
Right.
And this person has known that I had gone through, you know, trying time in the family law court. And she said, well, how do you feel about your ex-husband? And I looked at her, and I hadn't really thought about it. I said, well, you know, I have forgiven him. I remember how exciting that was when I reached a point that I was able to forgive him.
Praise God.
And pray for him. And that's right. What Pastor Jim was about. And to pray for him.
Yes.
Why should I pray for him? Look at all that he's done to me. Well, why shouldn't you pray for him? Look at what I've done
Absolutely.
For you.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And that's a very freeing thing when you can when you can do that.
Absolutely. We're going to do station ID, and we'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
He's in the midst. When you unite with me, I unite. We all unite together in prayer.
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
Then what happens?
You get better, you get healed.
What's the prayer line number?
813-417-3377. One more time. 813-417-3377. Or it is prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. This is Marcia McAllister, Beacon of Hope Ministries. Join Living the Good Life every Sunday at 4 o'clock. Have your prayers answered on the Tan Talk Radio Network. All right, Bill, you put that promo back on. That's cool.
There you go.
I'm
always thinking for you.
Yeah, I like that. It's really good.
And it was on the prayer ministry, which is usually what's up at 5 o'clock.
So talk about that, Pastor Jim. You're, by the way, listening to Living the Good Life, if you hadn't figured that out, from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida.
We have a prayer ministry at Beacon of Hope. You can send your prayer requests to prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com.
Uh-huh.
They will be picked up by one of the prayer team members. One of the staff. I hate to use the word staff, but there's a few of us that pick them up.
Right.
And we'll send them out to our prayer team. We have a prayer team that stretches across the country.
Yes.
We've gotten prayer requests from as far away as Australia. And, you know, I saved
that
request and the answer that came from the prayer team.
Yeah.
I just happened to run across that the other day.
That's cool.
But yeah, and you know, we've had so many prayers answered through the prayer ministry.
It's totally amazing.
It is amazing. You know, as Nan said in the promo, the power of united prayer.
She said that. That's what we just heard.
She said that.
Last week, Nan.
I mean, you know, and that's based on, there's an Old Testament principle. One of you will put 1,000 to flight.
That's
two
right.
of you will
yes.
put 10,000
yes,
to
amen.
Flight.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, 10 times more power in just two people. Imagine when we get 20, 30 praying
right.
for you across the country.
Absolutely. So we
that's
invite you
powerful.
To use our prayer line, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com, or you can actually call and talk to a live person, 813-417-3377, if she happens to be alive at the time that she answers the phone, because Connie works a lot of crazy hours, but it's normally Connie who answers the church phone. 813-417-3377. Listen to this new song, Francesca
Battistelli.
There we go. Motion of Mercy.
I was poor, I was weak, I was the definition of the spiritually bankrupt condition, so in need of help. I was unsatisfied, hungry and thirsty when you rushed to my side. So unworthy, still you gave yourself.
love to give something for nothing. I wanna be a glimpse of the kingdom that's coming soon. That's the motion of mercy.
Great words, that song, Motion of Mercy. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we're glad you've joined us right now. Let's go to Psalm 18. And we are having fun today talking about weakness and strength. Weakness and strength. That's what it's all about. And learning to stand. Strength for the stand. So that's what we're talking about today. Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3, and we're going to skip down to verse 6. So, Pastor Jim, read them in whatever you want to.
Okay. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. I called to the Lord who was worthy of praise, and I've been saved from my enemies. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears.
Mm. Oh, I love that. Mm. First of all, God hears you when you cry. Mm-hmm. Okay? When you are calling out to God, number one, he hears you. I love how it starts there, Psalm 18. I love you, God. In the Message Bible, it says, you make me strong. I like that. You make me strong. I, in my own self, in my own weaknesses, I'm not that strong. But that's what we've been talking about in the first hour today, if you just joined us, is that in our own weakness, he comes through and says, that's okay that you're weak. Here, let me show you what I can do for you. How would we ever know the power of God if we never knew our own weakness? Comment on that.
Well, I can just reference back to the praise warriors that I had, and I'm sorry if I referenced that.
No, that's
that was
all right.
A real
Go
monumental
ahead.
Thing when all I went through legally with my ex-husband, who was a very mean, bitter man. And they were, in my weakness, you know, I was made strong because of him.
Right.
And it stood as a testimony. I stood as a testimony, praise God, to him be the glory, for many, many people
right.
who knew what I was going through,
right.
who knew the situation, who knew the circumstances, and who were like, wow, that's pretty heavy. What's happening with you? And I'm like, yeah, you know what? My God is going to see me through.
Exactly.
And then they would hear an update, and other people who weren't part. I was particular with my praise warriors now.
Right.
I didn't just pick people who were wimpy. I picked people who prayed.
Really?
Who knew God, who got,
that's interesting.
Got into it. You know, you have to be careful who you surround yourself with.
Absolutely.
And I wanted warriors with me who were going to praise with me. And in my weakness, you know, I was made strong by him because of their... Just praising with me. I mean, you know, just being there. I was weak within my own self, except that God gave me the strength, and then I was, you know.
So why is it so important that the people that you surround, let's say that I come to you and I say, Pastor Jim, I've got this need. Would you pray with me about it? Why would it be an important part of the puzzle to pick the right people in your life to pray with you? Why is that so important?
Did you hear all the peace?
Yeah,
you put
did you hear
all
that?
I was impressed with that.
Yeah, that was it was amazing.
That was a lot of alliteration.
That was a lot of alliteration. And you know, we don't have a script or anything. That just comes out naturally, you know.
Because in scripture, you know, where two or more of you ask,
right,
he'll do.
Exactly.
But you have to be in agreement, and the Greek mm-hmm. word there is you're in symphony
yes.
with each other.
Oh, I like that.
You're kind of in harmony with each other, so if you're praying for one thing and I'm not in agreement with it,
right.
that's going to hinder that prayer.
Oh, totally.
You know, totally. That's why you need somebody who's going to be precociously persistent in their praying.
Oh, my. Look at the P's there.
Coming out
precociously persistent.
You
had to work on that.
But
precociously persistent in their
who's
praying.
Who's going to be in agreement with you. And
right.
And who's going to pray with you.
Exactly.
You know?
Because so many people can commiserate with you.
Right.
And say, oh, that's horrible, that awful thing that's happening
but
to you.
But that doesn't get you the answer.
It does not get you any answer.
What gets you the answer is prayer.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, and I was going to tell you this, and I'll just say it to everybody on the radio, too.
Go right ahead.
I was really struck this morning. What happened inside me at church was just knowing that I have to push myself even more to pray even more because,
exactly,
you know, there's so much stuff going on at the moment, everywhere. That's what God showed me this morning. That was my next step, is
right
to do that more.
Right.
And just because, you know, we're really under attack. I mean, Satan doesn't like where we're headed. So
right.
He's pulled out all the stops.
He has. We had so many sick people today.
Sick
when he was funny.
People and just issues.
And Thursday night, we had such a powerful prayer meeting. That was just amazing prayer meeting, touching the throne of God about a lot of issues, mm-hmm. you know. And as a result, of course, all the stops come out, of course.
Of course.
And the devil fights harder. But it's in our weakness that he is made strong. I love verse 6 of Psalm 18, a hostile world. I'm in the Message Bible. I call to God. I cry to God to help me. From his palace, he hears my call. My cry brings me right into his presence, a private audience. I love that. Go ahead and read it in your King James, Nan, verse 6, because I memorized it in that. I love it.
In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. I like that part.
My cry came before him, even into his ears. In other words, it wasn't just a request that's sitting in a bowl somewhere. Mm-hmm. This is my request went straight into his ears. You know? I mean, if you think about that, you know, that's huge, you know? Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just picturing God
with a big
plucking,
bowl.
Well, plucking a prayer request out of a bowl and saying, yeah, I guess I'll answer this one. But that's true.
It's true.
You know, when we pray, our it does come before his ear. And that should give us a lot of hope.
Oh, my heavens. That's why this is one of my favorite verses. It really is. Psalm 18:6. That, you know, I call to God. He helps me. He hears my call. My voice goes right into mm-hmm. his ear. And I think that really is huge when we talk about the fact that in our own strength, we don't know the right answer. So if my request is going right into God's ear, and I'm saying, okay, God, this is what's going on. And then suddenly, he's beginning to speak to my heart. Maybe it's through a verse of scripture that I open to. Maybe it's through a sermon. Maybe it's through somebody calling me or sending me an email. This is what God said for me to tell you. Whatever means God uses, we begin to get the wisdom. Mm-hmm. My hiccups, here they are again. Like David did in that hillside.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was looking at this. In my distress, I called on the Lord. You know, David, I mean, sometimes in our distress, we don't call on the Lord.
That's right.
The Lord had brought a verse because I tend to be like King Ahaz.
You want to explain that?
Yeah, he was a king of Judah much later than David. He was one of David's, you know, great grandchildren.
Yes.
And I love the way the English Standard Version puts a verse out of 2 Chronicles, I think it's chapter 29. We're talking about King Ahaz, and Ahaz was an idolater. He offered up at least one of his sons to the god Moloch, basically killed him and roasted him. But it said in his time of trouble, King Ahaz did more evil, this same King Ahaz, turned away from the Lord. And some people do that in their distress, and I've been there, I've done this. In my, you know, sometimes in our distress, the Lord's the last person we want to go
to. Right, yeah.
You know, again, I know I'm going to do this on my own. And yet, when we try and work it out, we end up in even more distress than we were in before.
Right.
And It's, you know, David says, no, in my distress, you know, I go to God. He hears me. It doesn't matter what the situation is.
He hears me.
When there's an issue, I can go to God, and he will hear me, and he will move in my behalf.
Totally. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 5. Just came to me as you were talking there, Pastor Jim. 1 John chapter 5. Again, Nan, these are some really favorite scriptures of mine that I memorized a long time ago in the New American Standard. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Mm-hmm. This is the confidence that we have before him. I'm just going to quote it because I haven't found it yet. This is the confidence that we have before him, that we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, which we know because we just established that fact, if we know he hears us, then we know we have the requests that we have asked of him.
Mm-hmm.
Let's read that in a couple different translations. It's verses 14 and 15 of 1 John chapter 5. Nan, you're up first.
And this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him.
Amen. If we know he hears us, we know we've got. Now, that's a lot of confidence right there. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that Apostle John starts out, this is the confidence we have before him. Go ahead, Pastor Jim. How's it reading? You're Jewish.
This is the confidence we have in his presence.
Ooh.
If we ask anything that accords with his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, then we know that we have what we have asked from him.
So if we need strength, we need wisdom, we need healing for our bodies, we need patience, we need kindness to grow on the inside of us, we know that when we ask God for those things, he hears us. It's a confidence. The thing about this verse, some people would say, well, I don't know what God's will is for me in this situation. Do you know what I'm saying?
I was just thinking that, you know, there are some things we know for certain are God's will. Salvation.
Right.
Holy Spirit baptism.
Exactly.
Healing.
Right.
Deliverance. Those are God's will.
Exactly.
Prosperity.
Right.
You know, God wants to prosper us. We know by the word, and that's how you know God's will. You get into the word. Well, what's the Bible say about this or that or the other thing? You know, I can just hear people saying it. You know, God doesn't know my particular situation. Yeah, but I'll bet you there's somebody in here
right.
who's going through something you can identify with.
Right.
I mean, you know, the Bible is full of codependency.
Right.
Passive aggression. Don't look at me that way, man.
It's true. She didn't expect you to say that. The Bible's full of codependency.
It's full of codependent behaviors, passive aggressive stuff.
Yes.
You know, just all sorts of stuff in here. And, you know, this is God's will.
Yes.
You know, you begin to learn the word. And Jesus said, you know, by the Holy Spirit living in us, he would bring to remembrance everything Jesus said.
Yes.
He'll bring to remembrance scripture for you. And it may be some scripture that you didn't think at one time maybe applied to your situation, but all of a sudden, boom, there it is.
There it is.
You're right. Yeah, that applies.
Right.
And then, you know, then we know God's will and we know how to pray.
Right.
Now, a little sidelight on this is if you don't know how to pray, pray in tongues.
Right.
You
just
know,
pray in the
pray
Spirit.
Pray in the Spirit because that's intercessory. Here she goes, Romans chapter 8.
We are going there, and I'll tell you why. Romans 8:26, because it is a perfect tie in here. I never got there this morning in the sermon. Romans 8:26, this is talking about praying in the Spirit and the importance of it, but it says the Holy Spirit helps our weakness. Now, we're talking about weakness here. Go ahead, Pastor Jim.
Well, yeah. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we don't know how to pray as we should. And, you know, how many times has that happened? We're so maybe overwhelmed by either what's going on with us personally or maybe a friend has asked us for prayer, and we're just overwhelmed, and we don't know how to pray.
Right. Exactly.
Well, thank the Lord. The Spirit himself pleads on our behalf with groanings too deep for words.
When we don't know how to articulate the prayer exactly to fit the will of God in this situation, that's when we are so grateful for the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we can actually pray in the Spirit. which is in your prayer language that God gives you when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And if some of you are going, I have no idea what you're talking about, email us and we'll tell you all about it. Or come to one of our services and you'll understand.
You'll see it.
Because it is when we don't know how to pray as we should, the Holy Spirit helps our weakness.
Yeah.
And in the original Greek right there, the word helps is soon anti lambano. And what it means is that the Holy Spirit takes hold of that situation. That's part of that word, soon anti lambano, together with us against the power of the devil.
Right. Exactly. I mean, and it's that's prayer in the Spirit is us praying, well, in symphony with the Holy Spirit. Because instead of us trying to formulate the words in our mind, it's coming as the Holy Spirit.
It's coming out of our spirit.
He gives us utterance directly from our spirit.
Amazing. It's
it doesn't
wonderful.
Go through the filter of the brain.
It's just an absolutely wonderful gift. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I think, at age 28 or something like that, or 9. You were?
I was 18.
18, younger. And because I always grew up in churches did not believe in that, you know, so it was very difficult. And I had to renew my mind on that. Some of our listening audience may be in the same position, that they always think praying in tongues is of the devil. It's not at all. It's very, very scriptural. And it's just start reading Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and you'll
Ephesians,
understand it.
Jude.
Ephesians, it's everywhere, all through the New Testament. Paul said, I thank God that I speak in tongues and pray in tongues. Nan, do you have a comment to all this? We're just kind of chatting along here.
Okay.
Getting ready to do a song. Go ahead.
I was enjoying the chat.
Yeah.
I feel powerful when I pray in the Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
I feel what kind of word to put on it? I feel much more directness,
yes,
if you will,
yes,
with the Father. He hears me when I pray in English, of course, and praying in the Spirit. There's sometimes that I don't know what to pray.
Right.
There's sometimes I'm battling something that I don't know what to do. How do I pray? I start trying to pray. It just immediately just goes into praying in tongues. It just takes over.
Because you know. That in your own self, you don't have the answers and know how to pray.
Right. You know, there's many times that I'll begin kind of praying and then not know. And it's just the Spirit just takes over and just pray. And it's very powerful. It's very powerful.
Wow. So listen to this song by Sidewalk Prophets, Live Like That.
Sometimes I think, what will people say of me when I'm only just a memory? When I'm home where my soul belongs, was I love when no one else would show up? Was I Jesus to the least of us? Was my worship more than just a song?
Save your soul. glory of the King. I want to live like that and give it all I have, so that everything I say and do points to you. If love is who I am, then this is where I stand.
Praise God. How do you want to live out there, listening audience? How do you want to live? That song is great. I want to live mm-hmm. like that. I want to live like what? That everything I say and do points to you. Okay? Amen. And we cannot do that in our own strength because we don't have it. We're not equipped to always be making the right decisions. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But we don't have the ability to always give the wise answer, to always give the loving answer, to always give the kind response. In our own selves, we don't have it, Pastor Jim. We aren't equipped like that. In our humanness, I mean, we strive every day to become more like Jesus, but I want to live like that. I want to live like that, with purpose, with direction, with seeking God and mm-hmm. taking his strength and not relying on what I think it should be, you know?
Yeah. You pretty much summed that up really
wow.
well. But that's true. I mean, we, and I think that's where some people run into problems, because you read like the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5-7, and we try to live that on our own strength.
Oh, yeah. And we can't do it.
Oh, we'll be miserable failures. And so it either, you know, that either breeds self-righteousness.
Right.
Or despair.
Right.
I mean, I've seen both. Mm. Because if you think you're doing a good part of it, you can think, oh.
Look at me.
You know, look at me. I'm
spiritual.
I'm keeping the Beatitudes. Or sometimes other people can just become despairing, thinking, I can't do this. And you know what? You can't.
Absolutely.
Not on your own. Not on your own. It's not in us that we can do this. It's only in him.
Absolutely. And pride breeds Oof. Weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Pride breeds weakness. Because when we think we've got it all together and we are busy telling everybody else, oh, don't do it that way, do this, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's not that we can't ever give sound advice. I'm not saying that. It's an attitude. What is the attitude it is given in?
Right.
A lot of times we are called upon to give advice in a counseling session or just as a good friend or whatever. But how do you give it? Or do you give it in the attitude of, you know, maybe this worked for me, and maybe it will or maybe it won't for you,
but
you know, it's
you
the attitude.
Try.
Yeah, it's the attitude. Let's
rather,
go to second. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say rather than, well, this is what you need to do.
Well, absolutely. I mean, when you look at 2 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 7, Paul could have been on quite an ego trip. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Paul was the first real missionary apostle, and I mean, the others, some of the disciples also went out in missionary work, but Paul was amazing what he did, what he accomplished for the mm-hmm. kingdom of God. I mean, and to come from a place of being very smart, his background was a leader from the tribe of Benjamin. He knew the law, he knew, and he was a persecutor of Christians because he felt that he was right.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was kind of in charge of killing Christians. I don't know that he ever killed one, but he was kind of rounding them up and doing his thing there. And Paul was on an ego trip, I suppose, back then before Jesus got a hold of him. But on the road to Damascus mm-hmm. in Acts chapter 9, I believe, is when he just absolutely saw the light, and Jesus said, why are you persecuting me?
Literally,
Jesus spoke out of heaven, why are you persecuting me?
He literally saw the light.
He did see the light, literally.
Because the glory of the Lord shone down upon him and knocked him off his horse.
Exactly. Did knock him literally off his horse. But, you know, Paul could have been boasting. He could have been boasting all the time about his accomplishments.
Well, and about the revelations that he'd had. I mean,
right.
Even up to this point in 2 Corinthians, which is written fairly early along, God had given Paul's, I mean, look through 1 Corinthians,
right.
all the revelation contained there, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Galatians, all those were written by this time.
Exactly.
And, you know, they're loaded with faith versus works and salvation by faith alone and
right.
all sorts of stuff on
Deep
the
concepts.
Second coming of
yes.
Jesus. And, you know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, I could, I got these great revelations.
Right. Could have had a big head, it says in the Message Bible, yeah. verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 12.
And yeah, because the complete Jewish Bible says, therefore, to keep me from becoming overly proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from the adversary, to pound away at me so I wouldn't grow conceited.
Exactly. So some demonic spirit was hassling him.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have tried to guess what that was. Some people thought it was blindness. Some people have thought it was all kinds of different things.
I've heard everything from blindness to persecution.
Exactly.
And it doesn't, you know, in the long run, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what it was. It was the enemy persecuting Paul. And probably there were gossipy people around in the churches, probably, of course.
I'm stunned.
Of course. Who would say, what do you mean this great Paul can't get rid of this harassment in his life? And Paul said, well, you know, I kept trying to get rid of it. It wasn't going anywhere. I tried three times, you know. It's almost like he made public declarations. All right, today's my day to be free of this harassment, whatever it was. You know, you can just see Paul going, all right, this third time now, I am really going to get rid of this now, you know? And then the Spirit of God comes to him in verse, what verse is that? My grace is enough, sufficient.
Nine.
Verse nine.
Nine. Read it in yours. And it's in red.
It's
I'm looking
red.
At your King James, and it's in red, that verse, because who said it to him?
Jesus.
Jesus. What did Jesus say?
My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
My strength.
Now, that's one of my favorites, Pastor, just to let you know.
Oh, Nan, we're glad that you have one.
I do have a favorite.
Why is that significant? Why is that important?
In difficult times of my life.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when you feel weak.
Right.
I've seen my Lord make me strong.
Right.
And that just means so much to me that you know, he is there. He is my strength.
Me too. Me too. I went through divorce too. And I can tell you that during those years, you know, difficult with my three little kids, so many times I felt so weak. Physically and emotionally, I was just drained and felt very alone, you know. And had certain family members turn on me and so forth just because of the divorce. And it's those deep times in our lives where we feel so alone, where mm-hmm. we feel weak, 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 that God says, here, let me help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
I love what Graham Cook says about the Holy Spirit. Graham Cook in one of his CDs keeps saying, the Holy Spirit is all the time going, let me help you with that. Hey, I can do that. Hey, I'm good at that. This is God talking. You know, I can solve that for you. Here, let me tell you how we're going to work this out. Oh, I'm good at that. Why don't you let me help you with that? You know, meaning the Holy Spirit. And that's what he is all the time trying to get us to realize that his strength is perfect when we are weak. If we were strong, we wouldn't even notice that the strength had come.
Right. Well, and what was it? Angel Bosco said this morning in church, it takes a test to make a testimony.
Whoa.
You know,
good stuff.
I don't know if you heard her say that.
I did, and it was
just
great.
Like that is so good. Because it fits, I mean, it fits right here. He says, you know, Paul says, therefore, I'm very happy to boast about my weaknesses in order that Messiah's power will rest upon me.
Amen.
We can boast and say, you know
yes.
what, I am weak. You know, that song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, I am weak, but you are strong.
Oh, yeah, I love that old song.
You know, that is so cool. And I'm well pleased with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties
right.
endured on behalf of the Messiah, for it is when I am weak that I am strong.
That's so true. Mm-hmm.
Again, one of those, you know, bizarre Christian contradiction things.
Yeah, it's a truth, though. The weaker we realize we are, the stronger we become.
Mm-hmm. Because Christ, Jesus, is stronger in us.
Yes, amen.
Because
wait a minute.
Always,
get the bell.
Get the bell.
If we're trying to do these things on our own
right.
all the time, we, in a sense, shut Jesus out and shut out the power.
Right, because we think we can do it.
Because we think we can do it, we're trying to do it on our power, our terms, our strength. And yet, when we just say, I can't.
Right.
I can't do this. You have to take over.
Totally.
Then the strength of God moves into us.
But, you know, we don't allow him to when we take it on ourselves and try to do it all ourselves, we're not allowing him to show off.
That's true.
I mean, we're just like, well, I could do it myself. And when he's wanting, we're not doing a very good job of it anyway, but we limit what people can see and how...
We limit our testimony.
Exactly. You know, how we live and who we serve and that, you know, when we don't allow God to help us in our weaknesses, then it takes away from testimony that we can have.
Absolutely. And I had not seen this till I came out of my mouth today. It was a surprise to me, too. When in first, and it usually is, a lot of things that come out of my mouth are surprises to me. First Samuel
20.
Yeah. First Samuel 26, that whole story that you just recounted about David. And you, David got the plan. He got, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going down there in the midst of this awful thing, but don't worry, everything's going to be fine. And of course it was. And I remember saying this morning, how cool is that? David and Abishai go back to camp, and they're going, you would not believe what just happened to us. Saul was laying there, and his 3,000 best soldiers all around him. And God put them into a deep sleep. And look what happened. Mm-hmm. We could have killed them. But this is what God said to do. And can't you just see them rolling and laughing and telling this story? How great is our God? I mean, that just welled up within me this morning. How great is our God? Because in our weakness, David and one guy, I don't care how mighty he was, probably wasn't going to slay 3,000 mm-hmm. best soldiers. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm picturing in my head now them just joking with David's other guys. And you're just not going to believe this happened.
You're not going to believe.
And then, of course, the next thing is David goes out and at the mouth of that cave and yells down into the camp from high above.
Yeah.
He yells down into the camp and basically makes fun.
He makes fun of him.
Saul's second in command.
Right.
Of Abner and says, excuse me, you failed here.
You were asleep on the job.
Right.
You slept through that whole invasion.
Right. And
people.
It was. Well, it was an invasion, though.
It was. But, I mean, can't you just see? Because, and I think, and that's one thing I love at Beacon. We really try to give time, especially Wednesday nights, for praise reports.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we see the hand of God working in people's lives, when we see people in the midst of total chaos and ruin, in whatever area, or total lack, or not knowing where the next meal is coming from, or not knowing where the job is going to come from, or whatever it is, and then to hear them come back on the internet or in person and say, "Listen to what God did."
Yeah,
you know, now we have the little small prayer groups that we meet after
on Wednesdays,
Wednesday nights after for about 15 minutes or so, and it's really pretty cool because we'll share prayer requests with each other, and then we pray over them, and then, man, we're finding out the next Wednesday night, man, there's people coming back going, guess how it happened, you know, and God, the answers
isn't
to
that
the prayers
cool?
that we prayed the
yes.
week before, we got answers coming in to those prayers, and that's pretty cool.
Are you seeing that? Mm-hmm. Pastor Jim and your group, and Nan's got a group, Madeline's got a group, and Alice got a group, I guess, and we've got all of you divided up, and it is fun, because the prayer requests come in, the answers come in. Wow, then how great is our God? How great
Amen.
Is our God?
He's pretty great.
Whoa.
He's very great.
It's wild. It's wild. So let's go back to this. So Paul had this issue, whatever it was. So Paul, instead of continuing to bug God about it, God evidently must have said, you know what, don't worry about it. I'm teaching you a concept here, Paul. I'm teaching you that in your weakness, that's when I'm the strongest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the theme of this show today. In your weakness... Two people against 3,001 person, and, you know, David and Abishai, you know, come on, you know, and look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
In our weakness, His strength
is made perfect.
It's made perfect. Do you want to explain that concept? How can his strength be made perfect? What does that mean?
Well, again, when we step out of the way and just let God move, that's when we see the miracles occur. That's when we see the wisdom come.
Right.
That's when we see God's hand in every aspect of our lives.
Right.
You know, and that, you know, the word perfect means completed. That's
yes.
when, you know, strength gets completed. It gets, when we get to the end of our rope, we're just starting with him.
Absolutely.
You know, and
yeah.
it's just an amazing thing. And Paul says, you know, I'm going to boast.
Yes.
I'm going to boast about my weaknesses, all these insults and persecutions and what else did he say? Hardships, difficulties,
yeah,
endured for Jesus.
He says in the message here, once I heard that, once Jesus said to him, my grace is sufficient, it's all you need. My strength comes in to its own in your weakness. In the Message Bible, then, once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on my handicap, and I began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Now I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become.
Yeah.
I become stronger as I'm weak.
Well, it's a balance. It's like my strength, Jesus' strength. And as I get weaker, he's able to get stronger. Because
like a teeter-totter.
Right, because we give him more place in our lives.
Exactly.
We give him more. We allow him to move more in our lives.
Absolutely. Oh, we do. Bill, we're going to do His Strength is Perfect by C.C. Winans. We've been doing it a lot in the last few weeks. It fits perfectly into this discussion. I love this song. And then cue it up again, and we'll bring it back in a few minutes.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what He can do for me. No great success to show, no glory of my own, yet in my weakness He is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when
God. That's when His strength is perfect, when our strength is gone. That's what we've been talking about for this whole show. Oh my, Romans chapter 8, starting with about verse 35. Who shall separate us actually from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, go on, Pastor Jim.
We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us.
Go on to the end of the chapter.
Okay. I knew that one by heart, so I didn't have to look it up.
Yeah.
For I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wow. That's the essence of the whole thing. Our strength comes from the Lord, and nothing is going to be able to separate us from mm-hmm. that strength. Mm-hmm. And yet, we think our circumstances separate us. We think our own spiritual selves, I've messed up. I've got guilt. I did this wrong and that wrong, so I can't draw from his strength because I've really messed up. Talk about that.
And I was going to back up just...
Go ahead.
Into Romans chapter 8, starting with, verse 28, we know that God causes all things to work
sure.
for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. For those who he foreknew,
yes.
that's us who believe,
that's us. Right.
he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son,
right.
that he might be firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified.
Explain that.
God knew who was going to be saved from eternity
right.
past. He knew who was going to get. He knew who was going to respond.
Because he foreknew all of our responses.
Those of us who have believed,
right?
He's called us. He called us so that we would believe. Mm-hmm. Those he called, he's justified us,
right?
And those he's made us righteous, made us right with him. Those of us that have been made right with him, he's glorified.
Amen.
And I think that's talking about, raising us up
yes.
with Christ to sit in the heavenly places so that we could be conformed to the image of his son.
Amen.
We could take, when people look at us, they're supposed to see Jesus. And
Amen.
The only way to do that
right.
is for us to step aside.
Right. And allow our weakness to be okay
right.
and let God's strength take over.
Right. And then...
Otherwise, it's all about me show.
Right.
That's what it is in our lives.
And in verse 33, Paul says, what then should we say in response to these things? If God's for us, who can be against
right.
us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all.
Yes.
How will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who's going to bring a charge against God, those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us.
Amen.
And that's that prelude into what shall separate us from the love of Christ.
Exactly.
Because, nobody can bring a charge.
Right.
Because we've been justified.
That's right.
Nobody can condemn because Jesus has gone to the cross, rose from the dead, intercedes for us.
Amen.
So that we don't have to be condemned.
So we quit living in that area of condemnation and weakness, and mm-hmm. instead we reach out and let God's strength come through us. Go ahead, Nan.
I don't have anything to say.
Okay. All right. But that's the truth. So often our weakness is exactly where God wants us.
Well, I've grown more in him in those weak moments.
Right.
In those
exactly.
challenging times. If everything went on perfectly fine and dandy and no issues and no problems and no hassles and... I don't grow during those periods.
Right.
And I think we also have to be careful. We grow during the difficult periods when our weakness is, through our weakness, his strength comes through. And we got to be careful not to get pride to say, show what we did.
Right.
Or
exactly.
a flip on that could be you kind of forget then how he carried you through because
right.
then you quit going to church, you quit whatever.
Right.
And you're like, I've got it all controlled. Everything worked out great. Look at that. And they're not acknowledging that. That did not come from them.
And
it
again,
came from
that comes
God.
From a root of pride.
Root of pride.
Because true humility shows that, yes, we understand our weaknesses. Let's pray for y'all right now, and then I'm going to give Pastor Jim and Nan each a chance to give a final word here. Whatever your needs are right now, whatever is going on in your life, some of you out there I feel are hurting. You're hurting a lot. And there are just issues that you're facing that you have no clue how to handle. And God says, you know what? That's okay. Because in your weakness, then God's strength can come through. Bill,
Amen.
Let's put that last song back on just down a little bit. I'll tell you when to raise it. But dear one, wherever you might be, or maybe you're listening to this at a later time, not live, that's all right. It doesn't matter. Because God's going to touch your heart right now, no matter where you are or what your situation is. Give him your weakness. Tell him how you feel. Talk to him right now and just say, God, here's my problem, and I have no clue how to fix this. And when you do that and you get that honest, he loves it. He loves for you to humble yourself, therefore, under his mighty hand, that at the right time and the proper time, he will exalt you. That's what it says in James. And we just resist the devil. We humble ourselves. We say, God, even though we are weak right this moment, we don't know how to handle this situation or that situation, your strength is perfect when our strength is gone. You carry us. God. Praise God. So, Lord, right now, for these that are listening that are feeling very weak on the inside, they don't know what to do. Maybe they're weak in body and they need a healing touch from you today. Lord, we just speak your healing into these, their bodies, their minds, their emotions. And we say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be set free from all that is binding you and that is entangling you. Be set free in the name of Jesus. Be raised up to newness of life. And know that Jesus is your healer. Not just for your physical body, but also for your emotions and your past hurts. Draw on this strength right now so that you, your weakness, is going to be perfected by his strength. Listen to this chorus again.
His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen.
His strength is perfect.
Oh, amen. Let it play.
His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can carry on.
Praise God. Woo. I love that song. I've been singing it all week. And you know, I think we've used it 4 out of the last 5 shows. I don't know. I just keep saying to Connie, put that back on because that's where we are.
Well,
you know,
it's a great song for that.
His strength is perfect in our weakness. So, and Nan, you have some final thoughts.
I feel like I should specifically speak to anybody who may be going through legal hassles.
Okay.
Whether it's family law or other. I don't think about my situation with my ex-husband from the middle 1990s until I get in here. And it seems like it comes out in a sharing moment. I don't want people think I'm dwelling on this. I don't think about it.
Right.
But I want to just encourage them that they're going to make it.
Right.
The falsehood and the things that'll be revealed.
Right.
I experienced it in family law court when that didn't work. A situation happened in criminal, misdemeanor kind of court. And none of that happened. And it all got thrown out.
Right.
You know, but it's just the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour.
Yes.
And that's what is happening. And I just would like to encourage them to move, you know, in their weakness, his strength will come through and that they will make it.
Praise God.
And that they will make it. I made it.
Praise
I'm
God.
Fine. You know, and
that's
they will
specifically
make it.
For at least one somebody.
At least
there.
One somebody. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Pastor Jim.
Well, earlier we were talking and you said the phrase, God is going to see me through. And all of a sudden I'm hearing Andre Crouch, you know, I've got confidence.
Right.
God is going to
see me through. That old
song. No matter
song.
What the case may be,
right.
I know he's going to fix it
for me. Yeah.
And that is so true, and we can have that confidence
right.
that God is going to see us through. But we have to remember, sometimes we just have to take our hands off of it.
Amen.
And let him work. You know, we just have to let go. And that's why, you know, there's the verses in 1 Peter 5. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Let him carry it.
Right.
Because, you know, burdens of job and relationships and friends and finances and all this other stuff, those burdens can be overwhelming.
Oh, huge.
And God says, wait a minute, you know, you don't have to be bent down carrying this big old sack of cares.
Right.
Let me just take that from you. But we have to be willing to give it to him.
That's right. Because he knows how. He knows how to fix it. Just like we talked about with David today in 1 Samuel 26. God had a plan. We got to find that plan. And our theme verses for this show have been for almost 5 years, Jeremiah 29, 11 to 14. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper
for
you.
Good. Plans to prosper you.
For your good.
For your good.
Give you a future and a hope. And so often we feel like God's plans for us are not good, but they are good.
Well, and part of it, again, is just letting go and trusting. You know, sometimes it's hard to trust in God.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes we don't see the future and the hope.
Right.
But he's already been to the future. So he knows what's going to happen.
He is present future.
Amen.
And he's looking ahead and knows what's going to happen. And so we thank you, God, for a great show today. And if you only got in on part of it, you can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. It'll be up on our website in the next day or two, and then it stays on. So you can tell friends or anybody to go and listen to this particular show or some of the others. So it's been great. It's always great, Nan and Pastor Jim, to have you on.
Love
you're just fun.
Oh, yeah.
You're good.
Fantastic.
You enjoy it, don't you?
Oh,
it's not far to Jesus. Our services, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, 3700 Almerton Road. And Wednesday night, 7 for Bible study, 6:15 for prayer meeting. We hope to see you soon if you're in the Tampa Bay area. It's not far to Jesus, no matter what it is you're going up through.
Amen.
Pastor Jim
Amen.
Ellsbury. Our dear Nan Watson, this has been Pastor Marcia McAllister and my cohorts right here at Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Have a great week. We'll see you next week live, 4 o'clock on this same station. God bless you. If you have a need, write prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com, and you will be prayed for and answered. God bless you. Have a great week. See you next week.